In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the meeting of the Lord in the temple. This is a feast not of the Lord, not as we say in the church, a feast of the Master, a class one feast. This is a feast of the Virgin Mary. That is why we have blue vestments on today. You see, the Virgin Mary presents herself to be cleansed after birth, as well as to offer her son on the 40th day according to the Mosaic law. This feast takes place 40 days after the Lord's birth in the flesh. And St. Luke is the only gospel writer to show Joseph and Mary as faithful to the commandments of the fulfillment of the law. And we see here, even though the Virgin Mary had had these encounters with God, with the angels, and this miraculous birth, she is very careful, very precise about following the Mosaic law. Of course, we know that Christ did not come to nullify the law. He came to fulfill it. And so this is the first step toward that. This feast takes place, I beg your pardon, in the icon of this feast, you see Joseph and Mary on one side and the elder Simeon with the prophetess Anna on the other. The Christ child unites them. The Virgin Mary offers her son, Christ, to the elder Simeon. And this offering of the firstborn son was commanded by God to mark the consecration of that son to God in memory of the plague of death of all firstborn in Egypt on the night of the Israelites' departure from Egypt. To escape the angel of death, the Jews had to sacrifice a one-year-old lamb and spread its blood over the doorways. And as the death-dealing angel passed the doorway that has been covered by the blood of the sacrificial lamb, he would spare the firstborn sons of the Jews. This was the first Passover, and to this day is celebrated in this way by the Jews. Of course, this was a preview of the true Passover, of the Passover that would be an eternal Passover, not one just in time and space. In the person of Simeon, we see the last watcher or watchman of Israel. In Psalm 129, verses 5 through 7, we read, "For thy name's sake have I patiently waited for thee, O Lord. My soul hath waited patiently for thy word. My soul hath hoped in the Lord. From the morning watch until night, from the morning watch let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel out of all his iniquities." So when he sees the Christ child, Simeon recognizes him as the Messiah for whom he and all of Israel had awaited. And he states the very familiar statement that we say at Vespers every evening that we have that service. "Lord, now allow thy servant to depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Of course, we sing or say this at every Vesper subsequent to the chanting of Psalm 103, which gives an account of creation. This is followed by other psalms and scriptural passages which speak of the hope of Israel. Whereas Moses had to cover his face when he was in the presence of God in the cloud, lest he perish, here we see faithful Simeon meeting God face to face and taking him in his arms. The very God who gave the law has come in the flesh to fulfill that same law and to lead the human race out of captivity, out of evil, out of darkness, and out of death, back to union and communion and reconciliation with God. Just as Simeon, the righteous elder, received Christ through an expectant and open heart, so we too, my brothers and sisters in Christ, must do the same. We must have that sense of expectation. And that would come as we adopt a stance of watchfulness, of being continually vigilant, looking for the Lord's return. And now Simeon is preparing to depart this life, to go and to proclaim the good news of the approaching resurrection of the Lamb of God to those who had departed this life and were imprisoned in Hades. Keeping in mind the resurrection had not taken place yet. He will announce the incarnation of Christ as good news to those awaiting deliverance and freedom there. One other point of interest must be mentioned. In the icon, we see Joseph, ever faithful to the law himself, holding two doves or pigeons. For those women who could not afford a lamb for sacrifice, they could bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. The absence of the lamb is not simply due to poverty or some other circumstance. Mary offers her child to the high priest, who receives him over the sacrificial altar. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is offered as that once for all perfect sacrifice. This is a precursor to that event. This establishes a new priesthood, that of Melchizedek, not that of Aaron. And this little child has come to become forever both the offerer and the offering, our great high priest. Through his blood alone can we be washed and made ready to meet God. We must not look at this reality with indifference or academic curiosity. This is the priesthood of what's happening now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. We have, by virtue of the faithfulness of the Virgin Mary and of Joseph and of all the prophets, a high priest who never ceases to offer himself to God the Father in the Holy Spirit on our behalf. So, dearly beloved, may we not neglect so great a salvation that has been given to us, made available to us. Let us embrace that salvation, and let us see that as the treasure of our heart, and persevere in all things with faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.